Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Hard to believe that we're already 4 days into the month of August, and we have a brand new resource that I'm very excited to talk to you about. It's called The Fifth Gospel by Bobby Conway. And one of the things I've said about Bobby is that few Christians can rightly say with the Apostle Paul, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. But Bobby Conway is that kind of a Christian, and as such, his passion for Christ, well, it's frankly contagious. And therefore, I would urge you to prayerfully consider devouring his book, The Fifth Gospel, so that you too may catch the passion of being a contagious Christian, that you might move beyond merely reading the Gospels to actually living the authentic Christian life. D.L. Moody once said, where one man reads the Bible, 100 read you and me. And that is precisely what Bobby Conway is talking about when he talks about the fifth gospel. There are five gospels, not just four. There's Mark, there's Luke, there's John, there's Matthew. And there are so many people in our culture who have not read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they are even now reading you. Are you the kind of gospel that ought to be read? I can't help but thinking about Gandhi when he visited the United States. This was during an era characterized by racial segregation. And despite his status as one of the great leaders of the world, Gandhi was refused entrance to a church because of the color of his skin. And towards the end of his visit, Gandhi was asked by a journalist about his thoughts regarding Christianity. And I'm sure that occasion factored into his thinking. And as such, he said, I would seriously consider becoming a Christian if I ever met one. I wish I could tell you that Gandhi's response was just one in a million and that you would never hear such a comment today. But the simple truth is this: who we are is speaking so loudly that many people can't hear a single word we are saying with respect to the Gospels. Again, this is an engaging book. It's eminently readable. I read it again this afternoon. And it's a book that I want to put into your hands as my way of saying thank you for your support to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. And there's so much going on at the Christian Research Institute. Time permitting, on one of the broadcasts, I'll tell you about some of our meetings last week. We had a legislative expert of the Standing Committee of the People's Congress of Shanghai at the Christian Research Institute. He's also president of the Shanghai Association of Religious Studies. We also had two professors from the People's Public Security University of China and the director of the Contemporary Religious and Social Safety Research Center in Beijing here. Why? Because in part, there's a rapid spread of cults in China like Eastern Lightning. And so people who are in positions of power in China have come to the Christian Research Institute so that they can understand cults from both a theological perspective and a sociological perspective. And I can promise you that as we met with these leaders from communist China, the gospel was very clearly presented. Not only so, but questions to the impact of Christianity from a sociological perspective, I might say from a fifth gospel perspective, were clearly articulated. And so the Christian Research Institute is having a transcendent impact, and let me say that this is because of people who support this ministry. And last month, I'm delighted to say that we were able to meet our expenses, and I pray that the same will be true in August, although it seldom is, because August is another one of those summer months, and it's hard to meet the goal being equality between what we spend and what comes in as income or donations to the ministry. So I pray that you'd be extraordinarily generous this month, and please devour the fifth gospel, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy online at equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and when you talk to one of our resource consultants by calling 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go to the phone lines. First up is Zeke. He's listening in North Carolina on NRB radio or television. Hi, Zeke.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I was wondering what your opinion is of the rapture, or if there is a rapture. And I also had a correction on, maybe you took this out of context, but when it was talking about the body of Christ being broken, it was the bread that was being broken that represented his body, because if his body had been broken, it wouldn't have been a perfect sacrifice.
I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about. I mean, when we're talking about the broken body of Jesus Christ, it is a way, a metaphorical way of talking about his suffering on the cross.
Correct. Yeah.
As far as the pre-tribulational rapture is concerned, I was just writing an article on this, and it can be traced back to John Nelson Darby. And the basic idea is that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans and two distinct destinies, and only one of those peoples, the Jews, are going to suffer tribulation. The other, the church, is going to be removed from the world in a secret coming 7 years prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the basic idea. And beginning with Darby, a dispensationalist holding this view, held to the view that due to the murder of Messiah, Jews were in for a time of unprecedented suffering, which is variously referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble or the Great Tribulation. Now, I do not hold to this view. The reason I don't is that I don't think that the Bible holds to this view. I think that the Bible holds to a far different view, and that is that there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, that the mystery of the gospel is that the two of them have become one. In fact, the precise terminology used to describe the children of Israel in the Old Testament is ascribed to the church in the New Testament. Peter calls them a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So ultimately, they are the one chosen people of God, not by virtue of their genealogical relationship to Abraham, but by virtue of their genuine relationship to the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God. So true church is true Israel, and true Israel is truly the church. So I don't hold to a distinction between people. I certainly don't hold to the notion that the Jews are going to experience a horrific Holocaust in the 21st century. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jan, listening in Florida, also on NRB television. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, why do we not follow one of the Ten Commandments that tells us to worship on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is actually on Saturday and not on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good question. And actually, we adhere to all 10 of the commandments, and we see the fulfillment of that fourth commandment in Jesus Christ, in whom we have our Sabbath rest. So the most dangerous snare from the perspective of early Christians, as well as Christians today, is to fail to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the Sabbath. And so the emphasis of the Sabbath is ultimately culminated in Jesus Christ, and that's why we are celebrating not an exodus, not God's creative prowess, but we're celebrating the rest we have in Jesus Christ, which is due to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is now the central event in all of Christianity. You take that out of the Bible, and you have a tattered, torn document devoid of meaning. So we have not abrogated the Sabbath. Now, we don't hold to the theocratic Sabbatarian laws, so if someone does work on Sunday, we don't stone them to death and so forth. That's been abrogated because that was part of a theocracy. But we certainly celebrate the rest we have in Jesus Christ as a result of Christ's resurrection. So we honor, as Christians, above all things, the Sabbath, which is ultimately culminated in Jesus Christ, who rose on the first day of the week, and therefore the celebration is on the first day of the week. So we continue on with the pattern. 6 days we work, and on the seventh day we experience and celebrate our Sabbath rest. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Maureen. She's listening on the web in Texas. Hi, Maureen.
God bless your ministry.
Thank you.
Thanks. I had just two quick questions. It's basically on the Gospel of Luke.
Yeah.
Particularly verse 6. It says in my notes section that God's salvation was to be made known to both Jews and Gentiles. And the reason why I wanted your thoughts on it, because it says that it was a major theme in the Gospel. And then the other quick question was, in the introduction to the book of Luke, they're saying that he was probably by birth a Gentile. So I'm assuming, you know, because of that he's a Gentile. But I was just wondering if you had any research to confirm that at your institute.
Yeah, and I think that the primary issue here with respect to Dr. Luke is that his gospel is to the Gentiles. And so when he says that the crooked road shall become straight, and here he's quoting the Old Testament, the rough way is smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. He is speaking, in essence, of the mystery of the gospel, where Jesus is not a parochial Jewish Messiah, but one who will be, as foretold, a light to the Gentiles so that the gospel can go out to the ends of the earth. So I think it's important to recognize that the gospel is not just for an ethnicity, but in Christ there's no Jew or Gentile, there's no slave or free, there's no male or female. If we are in Christ, then we are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for answering my question, and I just truly love your broadcast. I've been listening to you since December of 2011, and I'm so blessed I have found it.
Well, Maureen, thank you so much for those kind words. I deeply appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you. Back to the phone lines, and we'll go to Thomas. He's listening in. I'm not going to go to any more calls until after the break. I was going to go to Thomas in Arlington, Washington. We'll do that right after the break. He's asking about predictive prophecies in the Bible and what skeptics say about them. We'll get to that on the other side of the break. Do remember the number to dial to get your question answered today live on air, 888-ASK. Hank translates to 888-275-4265. And all this month, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, The Fifth Gospel by Bobby Conway. There are five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and a fifth, the Christian. But most people never read the first four. This book is an invitation to go beyond merely reading the Gospels to actually living the Gospels. Remember, Christianity is not just an explanation, it is an experience that you can have with the living Christ. The fifth gospel is just compelling. It's engaging. I've known Bobby Conway for a long time. He has an incredible, infectious passion for the Lord. And his church is a model church, a church in which the principles of the kingdom are manifest. This is one of those books that's a must read. I carefully search out resources that will bless you, equip you, encourage you, and exhort you as you live out the Christian faith. Remember, only one life, soon 'twill be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. The fifth gospel, get your copy at equip.org for your gift. Be right back.
You know the line, "I'll believe it when I see it"? Well, have you ever thought about the gospel in that light? That people might not believe it when they hear it, but would they believe it if they saw it? Paul exhorted Timothy, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." The simple reality is that a spiritual, hungry, but skeptical world is watching. And the gospel our lives are preaching will always be more persuasive than words alone. That's why Hank Hanegraaff recommends reading Bobby Conway's book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for standing with us, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "Jesus is ideal and wonderful, but you Christians, you're not like him." If that's true, it would be a sobering indictment. After all, aren't we called to bear his image? Perhaps that's one of the reasons for the growing skepticism and even hostility towards Christianity today. Fewer and fewer people are reading the four Gospels, but they haven't ceased to read the fifth Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. Because our incarnation of the gospel is to be both visual and verbal, we commend you to Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire two-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Did you know they're watching? No, I'm not talking about the NSA or the FBI. I'm talking about your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. In fact, because some may never read the four Gospels, they may be reading you as a fifth. That's right, you, the only Gospel some may ever read. To receive your copy of the fifth Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. Or make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And let's go right back to our phone callers. We will talk next to Kim, listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Lost the caller that was holding on just before the break. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
My question is coming from Matthew 15, verses 18 and 19, and 1 Corinthians 3, 17.
Uh-huh.
And the question is, are these verses combined together saying that God will destroy a believer that allows his heart to become defiled, and at that time, does that believer lose his salvation?
No, those texts combined don't make that point whatsoever. That would be asking the text to say something that the text weren't intended to say. In fact, the 1 Corinthians chapter 3 passage, I believe, has to do with the temple, as in the temple being the body of Christ, and that is speaking then of believers collectively. The passage that you're speaking of in Matthew chapter 15, I believe, is that passage where Jesus says, it is not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that ultimately defiles him, but that which proceeds from the heart. And by the way, in saying that, Jesus Christ declared all foods clean. So one is the temple of the body in which the Holy Spirit dwells. The other is the temple, as in the living temple, and we are stones that comprise the living temple of God. So we're living stones in the temple of God, of which Jesus Christ is the head. So you cannot use those two passages collectively to make that point.
So when he says he will destroy, will he destroy the body of Christ? Is that what he's saying? When he says destroy, what does that mean?
Are you talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 3?
Yeah, verse 17.
So don't you know that you yourself are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. So it's talking about those who ultimately seek to destroy that which God builds up. And those who ultimately seek to destroy that which God builds up are not believers to begin with.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, Hank. Thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Derek, St. Louis, Missouri. Sirius XM 131. Hi, Derek.
Hi, Hank. I got a question. My manager at work is Muslim, and I let him know that I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm actually reading a study Bible right now, and he is trying to convince me to read the Quran, which I don't want to do, but I understand with the Bible it says no one can add to it or change it. It is finished. Where exactly are the Muslims coming from? They believe that Jesus was a prophet, but they believe their prophet is Muhammad that comes after the Bible. And is that where the Quran comes from?
Well, yes. I mean, the Quran also ultimately comes from messages given to Muhammad through the angel Gabriel, or at least that's the contention. And the Quran is replete with not only factual errors, but faulty ethics. And their view with respect to Jesus Christ is a high view, but not a view that Jesus Christ is God. In fact, to say that Jesus Christ is begotten of God for them is the ultimately begotten one of God, to them is the unforgivable sin of shirk, S-H-I-R-K, because they do not understand what Christians, first of all, say about this, but secondly, to assign partners to God is an unforgivable sin in their view. So they have a caricature of what we believe as Christians. As Christians, we believe in only one God. So we are fiercely monotheistic. And when we say Jesus is the Son of God, we're not assigning partners to God, but we are saying that Jesus Christ is God, that the Trinity, in essence, is the belief that there's only one God, but the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are equally God, and they're ultimately distinct. In other words, the Son doesn't become the Father doesn't become the Son, nor does the Father become the Holy Spirit, etc. They are one God revealed in three persons that are eternally distinct. So when we talk about persons, we're talking about identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead. And we believe that Jesus Christ is fully God. And to a Muslim, that again is the unforgivable sin. So they have a different view of Jesus Christ than we do.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much. God bless you, Hank.
You're welcome. And I actually wrote about this in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. And so one of the points that I make is that while the master teacher taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father in heaven," devotees of Muhammad find the very notion offensive, because to their way of thinking, calling God Father, Jesus Christ Son, suggests sexual procreation. And according to the Quran, quote, "It is not befitting to the majesty of Allah that he should beget a son." That's Surah 19:35. "Allah begetteth not, nor is he begotten," Surah 112:3. The Bible, however, as I just explained, does not use the term begotten with respect to the Father and the Son in the sense of sexual reproduction, but rather in the sense of special relationship. And therefore, when the Apostle John speaks of Jesus as the only begotten of the Father, he is underscoring the unique deity of Jesus Christ. Or when the Apostle Paul refers to Jesus as the firstborn over all creation, he's emphasizing Christ's preeminence or prime position as the creator of all things. Therefore, Christians are sons of God through adoption, but Jesus is God the Son from all eternity. I also have an entry on the Quran in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, and you can get in a very short period of time exactly where the Quran derived from, how it came into being, and why I say what I said earlier, that is replete with faulty facts as well as faulty ethics. So again, the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, if you don't have it available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, and to those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or to a friend. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jason in St. Joseph, Missouri. Jason is listening on Bot Radio. Hi.
Yeah, I was wondering what the Bible says we should do with pedophiles that hurt kids.
Well, Jesus makes some very strong statements about anyone who would violate a child. In fact, one of the statements that he makes is that it is better for that person to have a millstone hung around his neck and thrown in the deepest part of the sea. That's pretty strong language. And he's speaking not only about violation from a physical standpoint, but certainly violation from a metaphysical standpoint as well. So Jesus makes clear that we should not take children and violate them in any way. So the standard in terms of jurisprudence for Jesus would have been very, very high. Now, I cannot speak to jurisprudence as it is exacted within our culture, but the basic idea in our culture is a very high regard for children, and therefore those who violate them as molesters certainly receive very, very stiff penalties under our system of jurisprudence. And whether that rises in a judge's eyes to the level of capital punishment, I do not know. But certainly we have very, very strident laws, significant laws against child molestation.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. A couple of things that I want to say. One of the things that I want to mention is that we are putting on a special event in Kansas City, and we'll probably be doing this in other parts of the country in the near future as well. But it's what we used to call an evening with Hank Hanegraaff. And the basic idea behind this particular meeting is a message on mining the Bible for all its wealth. And I think that we are, in essence, standing upon a mine of incalculable wealth. And we sometimes stand there as paupers because we don't know how to read the Bible or how to mine the Bible for all its wealth. So failing to comprehend the value of diamonds, we often settle for glass. I think one of the most important issues today is reading the Bible for all its worth, or mining the Bible for all its wealth. As a result of not doing so, we've come up with all kinds of faulty paradigms, which oftentimes cause us to be held in disdain by the world. Now, we're not trying to be pleasing to the world. We're trying to be pleasing to Christ. And the gospel is an offense, but we don't have to add to the offense by the way we communicate the gospel. So reading the Bible for all it's worth is very, very significant to me. I've often said that we can demonstrate that God has spoken. We can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, that it is a reliable authority. But the attendant question then becomes, if God has spoken, what has God said? And that entails learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, or mine the Bible for all its wealth. Again, we'll be talking about that in Kansas City. That's coming up September 25th. We'll be at Colonial Presbyterian Church there. And if you want more information on this speaking event and others, go to equip.org/events, or you can call the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To get your question answered today, and I may stay in studio a little longer today, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. And a quick plug for the journal as well as we go to break, and that is a new edition of the journal out, and one of the featured articles in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal is on the Austenification of American Christianity and what it portends. It is a horrible perversion of the gospel, and I divulge in this article why I wrote the book, The Austenification of American Christianity. So that's available now.
There are five gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian. But most people never read the first four. So said Rodney Smith, a 19th century British evangelist who led passionate evangelical campaigns to countries like Australia, South Africa, and the United States. It's interesting to note that more than a century later, some things haven't changed. A great many people still don't read the four Gospels, but they may be reading you as a fifth. That's right, you. You may be the only Gospel some may ever read. Are we comfortable with what people will understand of the gospel if we're the only gospel they read? To benefit from insights into this critical question, don't miss Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after this.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
D.L. Moody once noted, "Where one man reads the Bible, 100 read you and me." That's a sobering thought, but one that could also encourage us. Because while most non-Christians today will never read the 4 Gospels, they will read a 5th Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. By living out the Gospel, we gain credibility. By verbalizing the Gospel, we provide clarity. And that's exactly why we recommend you to read Bobby Conway's new book, The 5th Gospel. It will help you wrestle with the critical issues involved in living out your faith in front of a watching world. To receive your copy of The 5th Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Mahatma Gandhi was once asked how he felt about Christianity. His reply? He said he would seriously consider becoming a Christian if he ever met one. Interestingly, your non-Christian friends and associates might be saying exactly the same thing. They may never read the 4 Gospels, but they could be reading you as the 5th. To receive your copy of the 5th Gospel as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Again, talking about the 5th Gospel, it is eminently readable, but you will be exhilarated as you go through this book. But I have to admit, you'll also, as I was, be exhorted by the message of this book. You can read it in a short period of time, but it will make an indelible impact on your life, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Holly next in Topeka, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I need to ask you about two men, and then I want to stay on the line. I want to get your book that you talk about, Evolution.
Yeah.
Okay. My first guy is Rick Warren. I adore him. I get his daily emails, like a devotional. But lately, he's been using the word stupid, and that bothers my heart. And I don't, I don't know how he's justifying using that word or if that word is fine to use. But it just bothers me. And then the other man is Michael Savage. My mother-in-law listens to his radio show every day, and she wanted me to go on his website and download something for her. And I was looking through his website, and that bothered me.
Yeah. Well, two entirely different people. One is a political commentator, and the other is an evangelical Christian leader. Michael Savage is a person who is pretty rude and out there sometimes. I used to listen to him years ago, but I quickly dispensed of that habit. As far as Rick Warren is concerned, he is someone who you can stand shoulder to shoulder with when it comes to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. I don't know the context in which he might have used the word, whether it was a meaningful context or not, but context is very, very important. It's easy to take someone out of context by simply enunciating a word that they used and not having heard the context in which that word was used. I certainly don't want to do that. Someone who speaks with gentleness, respect, and with well-chosen words.
Something that it was stupid that you were doing it.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, there are certain things in which the word stupid might apply, and it, you know, stupid is one of those words that has a denotative and a connotative meaning, and so I think that's something to bear in mind as well. But, you know, all of us slip with our words from time to time. If you are a public speaker on the radio every single day, you're going to slip with your words, and so I think there should be a certain amount of charity and grace in that regard.
Yes, I agree with that.
Well, appreciate your call, Holly.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Larry, Los Angeles, California. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Yeah, my question is, I'm a Christian, and we teach at our church tithe, which is 10% of your increase, but I find a lot of people, even in our own church, are against the tithe and don't believe in it, and they, you know, they have all kind of reasons, can't afford it, Old Testament, all sorts of reasons. I want to see what your viewpoint is on what do you think it is that why Christians don't believe in the tithes, and I really trust and believe it. I put my faith in the tithes and the offering. So I just want to know what your viewpoint is on why people tithe and what is it again? You know, it's one thing to say you're for. They're completely saying it's not. You should never teach it. You know, I think the tithe is only a form of giving. So I want to know why this principle still can't be applied in today's church.
Yeah, I think you said a lot of wise things in the prologue to the question. Let me say that the basic principle behind tithing is, as Moses put it, so that we may learn to revere the Lord our God always. And so I would say in that sense, tithing is a universal principle. But you've also alluded to this in the prologue to your question, and quite rightly so. It is not the end for the believer. It is but the beginning. It is a way by which we can learn to trust the arm of God as opposed to trusting in the arm of flesh. It is a way of saying, God, I trust you more than I trust my own resources. So we wisely invest the tithe into kingdom work. But the ultimate goal, as the New Testament makes plain, is not tithing. Rather, it is stewardship, and that is the sense in which we hold everything that we have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit. So we see ourselves as stewards, not owners of anything. So everything that we have is the Lord's, our time, our talent, and our treasure. And we use that for kingdom purposes. So we are simply stewards of what God has given us. And again, the image, if I can reiterate that, is to hold everything with an open hand. So we say, all of this is yours, Lord. Take it as you will.
Oh, okay. And now you quoted Moses as saying to revere the Lord. I know one scripture in Deuteronomy say, do this to fear the Lord. Is that the one you're referring to, or is there another scripture where Moses, you just mentioned Moses.
No, again, you're right on target. Is the Deuteronomy 14:23 passage.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay, thank you. That's confirmation. That's the one I, one of the scriptures I use to teach people that is, there's something here to be learned from the tithes.
Yeah.
And, I like what you said, it's the beginning, not the end, yeah.
Yeah, and long before Moses, the Bible records Jacob's promise to God, of all that you give me, I will give a tenth. Long after Moses, Jesus reaffirmed the practice of tithing, but remember, he did it in a way which emphasized that this should never be done for outward appearances, but rather as an outward expression of an inward reality, and that is our trust in God.
Amen. All right. Thank you.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. Patricia, Jefferson City, Missouri. Hi, Patricia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Okay, my question is, what do you think happened to those in the Old Testament as far as heaven and hell goes? And is there any scripture relating to that?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, you start with Abraham, who was not saved after circumcision, but before circumcision, because he trusted God, and therefore he is called in the Bible a friend of God. So Abraham looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ as the first great patriarch. In Genesis, Terah, his father, is mentioned first, but the emphasis in the story is on Abraham and his call out of Ur of the Chaldees to be the father of many nations, not the father of a nation, but the father of many nations through whom all the peoples of the world will be blessed. And that's why God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. So he follows God. He, through types and shadows, looks forward to a city whose architect and builder is God, and therefore he is declared righteous. We look back at Jesus Christ as he looked forward to Jesus Christ through types and shadows, but in either case, we're saved in the same way, the cross that stands upon the fulcrum of history. So if you really think about it, the first 11 chapters of Genesis kind of catch us up. It's on previous episodes in terms of what it's communicating to us. It gives us the cliff notes on the great themes that take place that set up the pattern for God's unfolding plan of redemption, which ultimately culminates in God himself living with us. And that is what Abraham looked forward to, and that's what we as believers look forward to as well.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. An entry as well in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition on that. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Kevin next. He's listening in Massachusetts, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I'm on a cell phone, and I hope it's not going to drop out. I already dropped out once before, but the producer was gracious enough to let me back in the queue.
Oh, wonderful.
My question is about a fellow that I heard about today through one of my employees who attended a healing ceremony. The guy's name is Torben Sondergaard. And he was describing all sorts of miraculous things that were happening. Well, actually, it was just one incident that happened up a neighboring church, but then my friend also attended another ceremony other places. Anyway, I wonder if you've ever heard of Torben Sondergaard, and if so, what your opinion is of Torben.
Well, in short, I would say that he is a spiritual con artist. And as I've written about in Counterfeit Revival, I would label him as a counterfeit revivalist. What he's selling is sensationalism, sophistry, and all kinds of things that really do not have much to do with a proper reading of Scripture, but a lot to do with a way of sensationalizing things in such a way that it looks as though his ministry has been replete with miracles that rise even to the level of many resurrections. Not someone that is reliable, trustworthy, and if you want an a sense of where he's coming from, my book, Counterfeit Revival, would be a good primer.
Okay, very good. I appreciate it. I remember listening way back when to Walter Martin, so you're carrying the torch well. Thank you, Hank.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate those kind words. And, you know, I'm going to stay here for an extra hour once we go off the air today. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I will get to you. If you're dialing in, do remember the number in the U.S. or Canada, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. So after I sign off today, I'll stay in studio for an extra hour, continue answering your questions. So you can start calling right now and for the next hour, and I'll be answering your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, or somewhere along the line in the show, about the privilege that the Christian Research Institute is having in making a difference around the world, whether we're talking about sub-Saharan Africa or Asia. In some parts of the world right now, you have explosive growth of Christianity. For example, the growth of churches radiating from Henan province in north central China is said to be the fastest growth of Christianity since the book of Acts, the fastest growth of Christianity in 2,000 years. But the problem is that many who come to faith in Christ in these places are an inch thick and 2,000 miles wide. They need to be discipled, because if they are not, as one pastor put it, many of my people are only one unanswered prayer from leaving the church and resorting to Buddhism or animism to solve their problems, or one contact away from joining a cultic construct. And that's why it's so important that you support the work of the Christian Research Institute so that we can continue making a difference around the world. I'm going to stay here, as I mentioned, for an extra hour. Continue answering your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "Jesus is ideal and wonderful, but you Christians, you're not like him." If that's true, it would be a sobering indictment. After all, aren't we called to bear his image? Perhaps that's one of the reasons for the growing skepticism and even hostility towards Christianity today. Fewer and fewer people are reading the four Gospels, but they haven't ceased to read the fifth Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. Because our incarnation of the gospel is to be both visual and verbal, we commend you to Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also, included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.